Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here at 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host today is Otto Loos.
Nap is over.
And we are just so happy that we are with Eric Alexander this morning, who is the director of Vision Long Island, sharing some wonderful stuff with us. And at the break, I just think listeners need to know this. At the break, he was talking about some of the restrictions and the Department of Transportation happened to be one of them. When people, especially now even with snow, in certain places, like in Great Neck, you have town streets, state streets, county streets. And so snow is removed from different ones by different people. Potholes are fixed. And people say, well, why can't it be fixed? It's not the town's road. Right. It's the state road. But go into that if you don't mind, because that's something people don't realize.
One of the biggest issues we face in Long Island, you know, here we are as an organization, and certainly as our population's changing, whether it be for seniors or whether it be for young people or even families, you want walkable communities, you want safe roadways. To create that, you need roadways that are designed for walking or biking or transit use, not just automobile use, or automobile use at a slow speed.
Right.
And we have regulations on the state level and sometimes the county level that are antithetical to safe streets. We've been trying to change that with a movement called Complete Streets, passing some legislation. North Hempstead has passed Complete Streets law. But the regulations still, for example, in downtown Garden City, the road widths are so wide when you go through Franklin Avenue, you'd think a downtown like that would have narrower roads, slower traffic, and people walking all over the place with all those great restaurants and you know, the wealth that's in the community and you know, some of the natural features they have as far as parks and a hotel and the library there and all the things that are happening in a planned community like Garden City. But the state demands 11 or 12-foot roadway, lane widths. You can't get to 10 feet. They won't let you do it. They have some on-street parking, but there's limitations. To have a functioning downtown where people are going to walk, you need narrow lanes, slower traffic, crosswalks, medians, street trees, all the types of things that make it safe for people to traverse. And that's just part of having a downtown. Yes, when you leave town, you can drive a little faster and move more efficiently. But when you're in town, it's the time to slow up. It's just common sense.
Well, these are all the things that people. I have a grandson, 30 years old. He lives in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
I have another niece that lives in Astoria. And why do they live there? They live there because it's convenient to work, and they can walk to all kinds of restaurants, and they love it. And they don't even have a car, either one of them.
Right. Well, we're seeing with the millennials, motor vehicle registrations and licensing is down radically amongst the millennials. They're the Uber generation or Lyft or whatever.
Yeah,
you know,
Uber, they use it.
They
all.
Use this, you know, or they'll take transit if they live in a place that you know they can use that, or they'll walk. You know, and they're much more tied to their technology than they are. You know, when I grew up, it was a whole lot of folks that they're tied to cars. You know, okay, what kind of car are you going to get? What kind of, you know? But they've that generation coming up has got a whole different worldview.
Now they say, do I have to get a car?
Yeah. A big cost. You know?
My daughter lives in Long Island City. Has one daughter who's 16 months, 17 months, and that's it. There's no car. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's whatever the lease would be, the insurance, and the garage. It's $1,000 a month. When she wants to go someplace, she calls Uber. It's $50. It brings her out to Long Island.
That's what puts our region at a strategic disadvantage, because we are so built around the automobile. So we almost have to backfill certain locations on Long Island, certain downtowns that are almost millennial friendly for that next generation of economic development, economic growth, and living. And it's not just about the millennials.
Right,
our
right.
world's not just about the millennials. Our downtowns are going to, and who's moving into, you know, there's 12,500 units of transit-oriented development housing in our downtowns approved over the last 11 years. Of that, about 7,000 of those units are up. They're physically, you can go in them and see them, and people are living. Of those people living, it's about a third millennial, a third Gen Xer, and a third aging baby boomer that, you know, they left their single family home.
Right.
Kind of done with that. They're moving into the downtown areas. So it's pretty much an even split. We're not going to be Brooklyn. Long Island's not going to be Brooklyn.
Right,
Brooklyn's
right.
going to be Brooklyn. But we will have, or we're planning and having, some downtown areas that are pretty dynamic, and we'll have some level of excitement and activity for the people that want to be in this region, you know, and that's really, we're just going to make our downtowns better, and that's what we're doing. But you need to plan them differently than we've planned in the past, you know, in the 70s and the 80s, you know.
It was different goals back in those days.
Exactly.
You know,
right.
They had a whole potato field that they could knock down
yeah.
and build a bunch of houses like cookie cutters, and that's what people wanted back then.
It's a process.
Yeah.
Because Otto always talks about Project Independence, and people want to mimic it someplace. You just can't pick it up and do it. Great Neck, where I happen to live, that is a great plaza. But then you also have the senior center. You have the art center, yep. the buses, and we have three assisted livings besides apartments. So we have a situation where I think it's a great place. It's expensive.
Yes.
But it's a great place to retire to because there's plenty of things you can do. And Project Independence actually has an office there. So there's plenty of stuff you can do there. But that wasn't built last week.
No.
It was a process. It's a time thing for people.
The mayor up there, Gene Sillin, does a great job. It's an excellent example of what you can do with a planned area. And I want to be clear on a show like this, too, because while we promote downtown redevelopment, we want to make it clear that folks, this America, folks should live and have options. They want to live in a single-family home on a residential street, and they don't want to ride a bus or a train, and they want to drive their car. Bless them. You can do that. We have a lot of that on the
right,
island.
Right, right.
Now that if 45% of the population, according to our opinion polls, wants to live in a downtown or near a downtown and not in a single-family home, but only 15% of our housing stock is that, that means that there's a gap there of market demand that's missing. So we feel there should be more of this downtown redevelopment and affordable housing and transit-oriented development housing built to meet that demand and just level the playing field. Because, again, there's a lot of single-family home stock, but we need these other types of units and experiences to grow. And not just grow as an island, not growth for growth's sake, but to lift up the quality of our communities so we continue to be desirable and our quality of life is strong. And, you know, interesting, we did the downtown plan for Farmingdale. It's an important point. 400 units were planned. 200 units are up now. Property values have gone up 7% the last 2 years in downtown Farmingdale.
Okay.
So, and directly tied to, and then the school district did a bond, which passed, to have some recreational facilities right adjacent to the downtown. So you got the school working with the downtown area. And similar to, again, what Great Neck Plaza is doing, it's having all the pieces of the puzzle working
right.
so that when someone lives there, they can do different things and have different experiences.
Well, like Mineola has these two big apartment buildings that they just put in. And another one I understand is going to go yep. in near the train station. The only problem with those places, in my opinion, is a one-bedroom is $3,000 a month net cash, and a lot of people can't afford that. Now, there are a lot of people that can, unfortunately, I
right,
guess,
right.
Because that's why they're able to do it. But it is money. Yeah, let's face facts.
What that does, though, is a lot of people want to be in Mineola to be 30 minutes away from Manhattan. Having more luxury housing preserves the affordable housing stock of the Mineola Village apartments that are there and some of the older apartments. Those places are going to stay as they are as opposed to flipping to luxury units because there are these luxury options. So the good news of having some of these things is it keeps the folks who want to stay there, and there are vacancies in some of those places. It's a natural cycle, you know. So there are existing apartments in a lot of downtowns that, you know, you can get into. People forget that.
So
it's not all about new construction, you know.
So then it's two worlds. It's the world of a hub around a major, like a Mineola or a Garden City, for people that don't really want to be in the community. They want right. access to Manhattan.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I never looked at it from that right. perspective. So therefore, that's fine. I'm the $3,000 guy because I'm going back and forth to work. I'm coming home at 10 o'clock at night. I'm going to bed, and I'm getting up the next morning.
Or I'll spend my money on the weekends or in the evenings. I get home early in your restaurants. Or, you know, they're going to be part of the community.
Yeah.
They're just – it's just – and some things will change. I mean, Mineola, a great example. I think Eleanor Rigby's bar is now
it's
like
closed.
A
yeah, –
it's more of a fancy kind of – it's turning into a – you know, a fancy Manhattan-type establishment, you're going to have some shifts like that
right,
because
right.
there are people now that want some other types of stores or restaurants. And, You know, there's a natural cycle of things. But you obviously want to preserve folks in the neighborhood and their experiences, too. So it's the planning is a balance. It's definitely a challenge, you know, to do that. But I think Mineola is doing a great job, too, Mayor Scott Strauss.
Well, it's not like taking a bunch of blocks on a table like this and just moving them wherever you feel like.
It's not an academic exercise, man. No. It's a live, organic process.
Right.
You know, and you guys know it well.
And the shifting within it at the same time, because which you'll always get when you start to do something, you have the kickback.
Yeah.
And because it's very hard to explain the long-term image. I'm even having difficulty sometimes saying, why is that thing out? You put it to an ISO. Why is it going up there?
Right.
And if you haven't gone to the meetings, and I'm sure the town hall is going on all the time to explain it, people have to get involved and say, listen, here's what we're looking at 5 years down the road, and you'll be happy 5 years down the road. It's a little angst to get there.
This is what we tell people all the time. Get involved locally. Join your civic, if you have one, or a community association. Join your Chamber of Commerce if you're a business, or or even if you work at a business and your business, you know, isn't represented on the chamber. Represent your business on the chamber. Have a voice in your local government, be it your city or your village or town meetings. That's where decisions are made, and you can really make a big impact by being part of the process.
Yeah, so I believe local government involvement is better than being in a national picture because you really have no impact.
Right.
You know?
And the bottom line is, because the population increasing, et cetera, it's going to keep happening.
Yeah.
So it's not a matter of, like, guess what, we're finished with growth and we built the last house and now we could be good for the next 100 years.
Right.
That's not the case. Between infrastructure, redevelopment, if that's the word, or, you know, fixing, and more housing has to keep coming.
There's a record amount of sewer investments in Nassau and Suffolk County, or Bay Park for Nassau County, and some sewer growth and expansion. At noon today, I'm going to be at a press conference in downtown Kings Park with a $20 million investment in sewers there, something we lobbied for many years. So we're going to see growth in our downtown areas. We're transportation investments, some of the, whether it be third track or whether it be second track or whether it be upgrades of Long Island Railroad stations, the governor and on the federal level with the FAST Act, there's a record amount of transportation investment coming down the pike. So those are all good things,
right,
again, if planned properly.
Right, 100%.
And like, third track for certainly North Hempstead is key. You know, these village mayors and the town have to be really connected to the state and how these things are planned.
The third track.
Third track through, through Nassau County and
right,
New Hyde Park.
Right,
I know.
Right, yeah.
There are upcoming hearings on that next week. You know, it's those are very important.
Eric, we're out of time. This has been absolutely tremendous. I want to thank you so much. Good luck at your press conference at 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
Well, you're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We've been with Eric Alexander, the director of Vision Long Island. We'll be right back.